Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. Listen carefully. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. According to the good pleasure of his will. Yes, God knows the end from our beginning, even while we were still in the womb. God knows if we will repent and believe in why Jesus went to Calvary. You might say, oh, well, that's a trick of some kind. You go to a circus sideshow and you'll find that. Well, think what you may, but the Word of God is based on fact, on truth. And if you don't believe it, then your chances of ever going to heaven are nil. Nil. No hope whatsoever. Even while we were still in our mother's womb, God knew if we would repent and believe in why Jesus went to Calvary. And don't stop there. What God giveth unto man, he giveth through his foreknowledge. His foreknowledge. If God thought you could lose your salvation, then why bother giving it in the first place? Would our loving God send his only begotten Son to suffer and bleed and die? All the while knowing we would not repent and believe in the gospel? Would he? I don't think so. I don't think so. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Would he? If this were so, then God would be akin to sinful man. He would. And his foreknowledge would be nothing but guesswork. Well, the whole point is the Lord foreknew what he would do before he saved us. He knew who was going to be saved. Now you might say, that's impossible. Well, with God, all things are possible. Don't fool yourself. And don't try to fool God. He knew before he saved us. And this includes our backsliding as well. You see, we who consider ourselves stalwart Christians, we do have times while we're in this old flesh to make error, to make mistakes, to backslide. And God knows all about that. But allow me to say here that backsliding now does not cost us our salvation. No. A lot of people think because they fell away that they've lost their salvation. That's not true. If this were so, then his elect Israel would also be lost. Also be lost. Now, if we look in Romans, the book of Romans 8, verses 29 and 30, well, we take it a step further. Listen carefully. Whom he, God, did foreknow, he also did, here's a big word, ready, predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And verse 30 carries it on. Moreover, whom he called, he did predestinate. Then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There you have it. called, justified, glorified. Amen, amen, amen. Don't you just love it? I do. I look on and so at peace with myself, knowing that if I were to drop dead even before I finish this message, that I would open my eyes again in glory. I am so confident of that. My Savior paid the price I couldn't pay. You know, a lot of people can't seem to get past called, the word called, let alone being glorified. Huh, me glorified, that'll be the day. Well, this is where faith kicks in. The hymn writer wrote it just the way it is. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Okay? Don't you just love it? Yeah. I'd like to sing it if I could, but I don't have much of a singing voice. At least that's what they told me in church. Oh, well. I can talk, though, and I praise God for that. Oh, yes, I do. Born again from above. Born from above. Not below. Above. Oh, if this be so, it is not possible to be unborn or lost. You are given eternal life. Eternal life. John 10:28 says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Ooh, I like that. That bears repeating, that one. John 10:28. You know that verse? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wow. Oh, what comfort that is to know. Now, I talk to a lot of people who have great difficulty just grasping this amazing truth. They'd sooner believe only in the tangible things of life, that which they can touch, they can feel. And I say unto them, you know what? Hellfire is tangible. Hellfire is tangible. Ooh, kind of stops them right in their tracks. God did not give life to be taken away. He gave us life to live for Him. Once we become a Christian, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit, which we are sealed by until the day of redemption, as the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. If a Christian can be lost again, then Christ is lost with him. Since he, Christ, made the Christian, now get this, he, Christ, made the Christian part of his own body. Yes, he did. As Christians, well, we are complete in Christ. We are complete in Christ. Colossians 2, verse 10. Here we are saved. Or, pardon me. How are we saved, you may ask? Well, by grace. Hasn't anyone ever told you that? Your pastor or someone who witnessed to you? By grace are you saved through faith? For by grace are ye saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 now. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you thought you could work and earn your salvation, well, you can't do it. I mean, what would that mean for all those who cannot work? Huh? They'd be lost and have no chance of salvation. Come on now, let's face it. Let's get real, shall we? Okay. Wow. The Word of God really has a lot to tell us. We have a lot to learn. And we have a lot to believe. Now, I'm afraid there, excuse me, I'm afraid there are many precious souls walking around with a heavenly attitude, but have yet not surrendered to the cross. Wow, I feel sorry for them. They're like candles in the wind. They've tasted of the heavenly gift, but they've not consumed it. They've not consumed it. They stand on their soapbox of pride, but never succumb to the fullness of the crucifixion. Never. They're like extra spikes in the body of Christ. They're stumbling blocks before the cause of salvation. If your salvation is real, then you are part of the body of Christ. Yes, you are. You become a part of the body of Christ if your salvation is real. Ephesians 5, verse 30 says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones." Wow. For those of you who cleave only to the spiritual, I suggest you think hard on Ephesians 5:30. Think hard. Read it over and over. Therefore, if a Christian can be lost again, then Christ is lost with him. Since he made the Christian part of his body, a body that is without spot or wrinkle. Take heed, people. Take heed. This is not a figure of speech, as some would think, maybe even ponder. But in the true sense of the word, let us go back to Genesis 3, verse 23. Genesis 3, verse 23. When God had taken Adam's rib and made woman. Hey, you remember that? Oh, yeah. Took Adam's rib and made woman. And Adam said, "This, the woman he was speaking of, is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Got that? Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Talking about the woman. They too shall be one flesh. Well, sad to say, unthinkable amidst womankind today, even unbearable amid the soaring women's liberation. Thus, a major stumbling block when it comes to lib and all. Oh, they put a real stop to this sort of thing. It's a stumbling block to your salvation. Consider this. If a Christian can ever be lost, if a Christian now can ever be lost, then Christ is lost with him. Right? If you're bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh, then you'd be lost with them. If a Christian could ever be lost, then Christ would be lost with you, since he made the Christian part of his own body. Oh, this is not heresy. People, this is literal stuff from the Word of God. When the thought of losing one's salvation, when it strikes you, I would urge you to consider what the Word of God has to say. Since we are a part of the body of Christ, how foolish to think that we can diminish his body by trying to take away from it. How foolish is that? Let us go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 10. Now listen carefully. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Let's hear that again. Okay? Now, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Can the complete work of Christ be lost? No. Once saved, always saved, people. You've heard that many times. Once saved, always saved. Christ cannot, and I emphasize the word not, Christ cannot deny himself. No, he can't. He cannot deny himself. I've never heard of a Christian who, even at one time in their life, has not given that thought or given thought to losing their salvation. I've never heard of it. Wow. Imagine that. Can you imagine it? I mean, let's face it. We either believe in the Word of God or we don't. Those are two choices. What choice are you making? Do you believe the Word of God or not? It's time to stop the humming and hawing and, you know, is God a liar? The Word says, let God be true and every man a liar. Heaven forbid, heaven forbid. God cannot lie, because if he did, he'd be denying himself. And what kind of God would that be to serve? Have you read John 6:37 lately? In the words of our blessed Savior Jesus Christ to his disciples, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. Now there's wonderful news. Have you come to Christ yet? Are you thinking about it? Or are you kind of uncertain about even going in that direction? Well, let me repeat these words. All that the Father giveth me, this is Christ's words now, the words of Christ Jesus, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me through his foreknowledge now, remember that in the background, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to call Christ a liar? Are you? Oh, I wouldn't go there. I say unto you, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. All that the Father giveth me. Now, wait a minute. All that the Father giveth me. Jesus saying, all that the Father giveth him, he will in no wise cast out. He won't cast them out. Me, you, anyone. And this is all through God's foreknowledge. And because his foreknowledge came first, his predestination was to follow. Since he knew before we were even born. Now, that might be a little bit heavy on your brain, but he knew before we were born that we would come to Jesus Christ and be saved. He knew that. The old saying used to be, you know, before you were a gleam in your mother's eye, I knew this is the way it was going to turn out. Well, anyway, it's nothing to do with salvation. So, saying all that the Father giveth him, he will in no ways, he will not cast out then. Okay. Then someone in the back row spoke up. Wow, someone in the back row spoke up. What do you mean? All that the Father giveth me. Well, I thought it was us who gave ourselves to Christ to be saved. Isn't that how it's supposed to be? I mean, don't we have to repent and believe in what happened at Calvary? Exactly. Exactly. Repent and believe. What Jesus meant goes back to God the Father's foreknowledge. I can keep going back there and back there. God knew who would repent and believe because God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. Do you understand that? Do you see where we're going? Is that where you're going when you die? Are you sure that if you were to die this day, that you'd open your eyes in glory? Or are you just saying, well, I hope so. You hope so. I heard that a lot, you know. People I witnessed to, and when you ask them that question, do you know if you died today? You know, that's a common question you ask somebody when you're witnessing to them. Maybe even at the very top. Do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? The obvious answer is, well, I hope so. Well, I hope so. Well, you know what? Hoping so is not going to cut it with God. Hoping that the world will not end tomorrow is not going to prevent it from ending. Hoping that you're not going to trip on a stone or a stick and fall and break your neck is not going to prevent it from happening. Hope all you want. Hope is a great thing. But hoping by itself will not do it. You must repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. No other way. You know, salvation is a gift. It's probably the, you know, you talk about having gifts at Christmas or on your birthday or whatever. And some of them are great gifts and some are kind of mediocre, but nonetheless a gift. But the greatest gift of all is the gift of God. It's from the gift, it's from God rather, and it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's in Romans 6:23. Do we earn a gift? Do we? If so, it's not a gift if we have to earn it, is it? Because there are people who cannot, like, earn something by doing something in return or beforehand. One receives a gift he cannot work for or earn it. That's what a gift is. One receives Christ. According to John 1:12 and 1 John 5:12, one does not merit salvation. If he does nothing to receive it, is it possible to do anything to lose it? Now, there's some food for thought. Huh? One receives Christ. Can he earn it? Does he have to do something? No, just acknowledge who Jesus is and what he did for you and believe it. Don't forget to believe it. You do not merit salvation. If he has nothing to receive it, if he does nothing rather to receive it, is it possible to do anything to lose it? Now, there's a question you got to ask yourself. Oh, he made peace for me, he did. Colossians tells us, Ephesians says, surely this peace is eternal peace. You think salvation is eternal? Well, you better get that squared away too. Because if you don't, then you're not even going to find out. Okay. Is there therefore inconsistence to think about, that he will bring them up before me again? What? That you will have another chance? If you deny Christ today, will you have another chance tomorrow? Well, you know, I've heard that question asked a lot of times, but I've never really heard the correct answer. Denying Christ today and receiving Christ tomorrow. Well, as long as you're in your right mind, as long as you're sincere, there's always hope. Christ does not cast anyone aside for any given reason except unbelief. Unbelief. But don't forget this. Jesus looks upon the heart. And what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. So don't go and mess with God. Don't try to sneak in a back door. Just understand. Salvation is real. It was made possible through what Jesus did at Calvary. Giving up his life, shedding his precious blood for a sinner like me, for a sinner like you. We're all sinners, but we have a way to defeat sin by believing in what happened at Calvary. We don't have to work for it. We can't earn it that way. We cannot earn it at all, period. But all we have to do is believe steadfastly in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that this message has been a blessing for you in some way, that it's answered some questions that may have been lying heavy on your heart, in your mind. I pray that God will lift you up and place you in that group that are waiting for the return of Christ, when he will come and take us home in the rapture of the church. Or will you miss it? And then, you know what happens? You will believe a lie. Don't let that happen to you or to your family. God bless you. I'll be talking to you soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.